The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mike's Radio. Open line today. Perhaps you were at the roadshow last night, the listening roadshow. Oh, before we go any further, by the way, I've got to say congratulations to two great Manx talents, to 18-year-old Freddie O'Donoghue. Made his senior breakthrough in the then EFL League Two side Carlisle United, already preparing for life in the National League. Well done. What about Billy Harris? Were you watching Wimbledon yesterday? Did you see Billy Harris? A sensational performance. Former Castletown and Albany member is through the first round in straight sets. And former Castletown and Albany player beat the Serbian Dusan Lajovic in straight sets yesterday, facing Nuno Borges from Portugal. Wow. Billy Harris says it's proof that it's possible to succeed if you work hard.
Yes, great achievement. And hopefully it can inspire some kids back on the Isle of Man to get into tennis and keep pushing to make a career out of tennis.
How about that? Will you be watching that? Fantastic. Let's get to the lines now, and Chris is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Andy. Thank you very much. I went to the meeting last night, the government meeting, to speak to the ministers, and I spoke to quite a few, and most of them were really good. But the one that really stood out for me was Michelle Haywood, the minister. I was talking to her about the 20-mile-an-hour limit.
Yeah.
And that lady was so rude and aggressive that I just couldn't believe it. She first accused me of looking at my figures on Facebook. I can assure you, Andy, I do not look at Facebook whatsoever. And my figures usually come from the Man in Line, you know, because I do listen to it. And yesterday there was Juan and Julian on saying that they'd been to the meetings in Douglas and they couldn't find anybody that was for the 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. That's where I got my information from. And I told Michelle Haywood that as well. It was just truly unbelievable. She went on to... there was a chap sitting next to me and he was talking about Wales, how they'd spent $30 million and it was totally wasted. And Michelle Haywood said, yes, but they're giving the town areas, $6 million to reinstate everything, although it costs $30 million to do it up. So what I would say is, that's $36 million that the government of Wales have wasted. Is this government going to waste money as well? And then she went on to say that two areas in Wales are totally happy with the speed limits. Well, that might be so, but she didn't go on to say about all the other areas that are totally against the speed limits. And what she said was, at the meetings, usually there's a 50% for the 20 limit and 50% for against it. And yet, last night, I couldn't find anybody at all for it. And obviously, neither could Juan or Julian when they went to the Douglas meetings. I just found Michelle Haywood truly amazing. I honestly did. The gentleman next to me asked Michelle Haywood, can this limit be enforced? She gave a politician's answer, just waffled on for 10 minutes. He asked again. He got the same reply. So I butted in. I said, look, this gentleman's asked you civilly, can this be enforced? And she said, well, no, the police cannot enforce it. They've not got the manpower to enforce it. You know, so they can't monitor it all the time. So I eventually, after three attempts, got the answer from her. That lady is just truly appalling and she really needs to resign and stand down. Another thing was, Andy, she said she has the power to do this regardless of what the public want. And in my opinion, that's what she's going to do. She also went on to say, with the management of it, if the public don't do a 20-mile-an-hour, she's going to put in, like the flower tubs and everything, traffic obstructions so that people will have to drive around them, therefore go slowly. So she's got that in her mind already. And another thing she did say, if the survey doesn't go the way that she's hoped, she's going to take it on board that as if children have asked the question as well, and she's going to take on board what's best for the children, not what the public want. I think this government and this island is just like truly appalling, and I really do hope that other ministers take note of what she's trying to do and what the public actually want.
Read him between the lines, Chris. You disagree with this 20 mile per hour blanket limit then?
Well, that's interesting you should say that, Andy, and thank you for butting in there. I am not against the limit at schools. There's some schools, I live in Andreas, and there's some schools that don't have it, and I think all the schools should have it, so I'm not against it. But when I said that to Miss Michelle Hayward, she said, oh, so you're for the 20 limit? I said, no. I said, I am for it at schools, not all over the, you know, the towns and the cities on all types of roads. I'm only for it at towns and schools, yeah. So, you know, the woman was truly appalling. She's absolutely for it, and she's going to do it regardless what the public want.
Yeah. I mean, it is her job to be for it, isn't it?
Well, yes, she can have her opinion.
Yeah, but she's got to, surely.
She's
the minister at the Department of Infrastructure, and Tim Wald approved this 3 years ago. This started 3 years ago. So, it is what Tim Wald has approved, and it's her department's job to do it. So, I mean, her defence. I'm not speaking for her, but her defence could be she's only doing her job.
Well, that's maybe so, but then surely, as a public servant, she should listen to the public. And if it's such a high percentage don't want it, you know, I couldn't find anybody. Julian and Julian couldn't find anybody that wanted it. And she was, in my opinion, she's not telling the truth, in my opinion, when she says that 50% of the people are for it. I don't believe that for one moment. And what I will say also on the 50% side, she says at the meetings at Douglas, 50% of the people were for it. Well, I'd believe Julian and Juan any time over Michelle Hayward. And then she went on to say later on, well, the people that are actually for it won't come to the meetings. Hold on, you've just contradicted yourself. Yeah. And then I actually made a really big mistake, Andy, because I have been a fireman in North Yorkshire, and we used to have a lot of deaths on the A1 before it became the A1M, in like its triple carriageways now from Jewell. We used to have 26 deaths annually a year there, which was horrendous. And she said, yes, that just shows that speed kills. Well, if she knew her facts and figures, the motorways and the dual carriageways are the safest roads in the UK for the number of vehicles that are there. Yes, when there's an incident, it's usually a death or serious because of the speeds. But, you know, that woman just didn't seem to know anything, really, in my opinion.
Yeah. How do you feel about the... Well, we don't know where all the 20-mile-per-hour roads are going to be, but I want to ask your opinion about the north of the Isle of Man, around Andrus, Jerby, Sandygate, those sort of areas. Now, I know, because I've driven down them, been to the Motor Museum many times, there are some people who absolutely belt down those roads.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's correct at all, but what I'm saying is, if it's a 30 limit, do 30. But, you know, in my opinion, we only need 20 limits outside schools.
Right.
And that was the feeling that I got from the people that was at the meeting last night. You know, they're very happy to have the 20 limits at schools, but not in other areas of the island. And if there's a 30, then the reality is you should do 30. You know, I'm 66 year old now, and touch wood, I've never had an accident yet. And what I would say is, you know, stick to the limits, but out of town where there's no limits, go as fast as you like. We don't really seem to have a lot of accidents or deaths on this island compared to what we used to have in North Yorkshire.
Well, that's the interesting point is that, as you say, we don't have lots of... It's not like it's one a week or anything like that. And we only get deaths sometimes when there is... To put it another term, when there's joyriding that takes part, where it takes place when people are, you know, tazzing up and down on the Ballymoda Strait or places like that, or the Switchback, those are the places we tend to have problems. We don't routinely get deaths on the roads on the Isle of Man, so it's interesting that you point that out.
Yes, well, I did ask her that, and I totally agree with you. It's such places as that. When people are just getting a little bit excited out there and going beyond what they can control. And there's usually a big pile-up, isn't there? Yeah.
Okay.
But I did put that to her. I said, how many deaths have you had in the 30 zones in the last... She couldn't give me this year's figures. She couldn't give me last year's figures, but she gave me figures before that. And she said there was 5 deaths in 3 years. But she didn't exactly go into the details of the deaths. You know, why was the death? Sometimes there's a good reason. And what is also interesting, on her panel, there was a chap called Kevin Armand. And I asked that question to Kevin Armand, and it was the only question he'd actually answered to me. He was very, very... blank once I'd said I'm not keen on the speed limits, and Kevin Armand said 3. So either Michelle is wrong at 5 or Kevin's wrong at 3. You know, nothing matched up really, and I think she's just going to go ahead with it regardless of what the public want.
Okay.
And you know, she is a public servant.
And
thank you very much, Andy.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. It's 18 minutes past 12. Somebody sent me in, it's 113, sent me in lots of photos of the lane in Williston Crescent, sending these on behalf of my dad. Who lives at Williston Crescent. This lane needs to be opened and sorted. It should have been blocked off in the first place. The public walked up the lane for decades and we're not happy. Thanks for the photos. We can only hope that the government are trying to push our Isle of Man forward with honesty and progress, housing and healthcare. But these public consultations, says John, I think they're a smokescreen and they aren't taken on board when making the final decision. It's not good. The last time I heard, we lived in a democratic island, fastly becoming undemocratic, said a concerned resident. That's John. Well, it's democratic in that we have votes, and we will have another vote next year, next September. Thanks to John S. The Regal Cinema, we were talking about the Regal Cinema yesterday, was equipped with a Compton organ, slightly smaller and a couple of years later than the Picture House one, with a mellotone, an early electric stroke electronic way of producing tones. It's housed now in a transport museum in Tarleton, near Southport. Well, thanks for that information. Good to hear that. The 20-mile-per-hour limit will affect emergency services. Call-out time, says Bill. 70% of emergency services are not on station when they get paged. They first have to drive to the station, then depart for the emergency. Is that true? Fire, ambulance, Coast Guard, RNLI and Civil Defence, if they're still a thing. I think the civil defence is still around. All of these services have staff on call. It'll affect their call-out times. I think, surely the government knows about this. We'll find out, Bill. Thanks for that. We've just come back from a trip through Wales. Plenty of 20-mile-per-hour zones. Didn't hold us up at all. Text 569. Thank you for that. The right to buy houses. The idea was to put money back into new social housing in the UK, but it never happened. So you end up with more private rentals. I'll also add all the time cheap interest rates. So many people borrowed a lot of money. Some ended up losing the house when the interest rates hit 15%, says Mike. That was in the early 90s, wasn't it? I'm an ex-come-over. Living on the Wirral, and they've done both 20-mile-per-hour and bike lane things here. No discussion, they simply implemented them because the long-term plan is to do away with private cars. So-called consultations are a series of closed-ended questions designed to produce the answer that they want. Awaiting the afternoon boat. Thank you, Alex, for that. The Manx scenes in The Gold. I don't know whether you watch The Gold. It's the part two of the Brinksmat series with Hugh Bonneville talking about how they launder the money. And a lot of it centres on the Isle of Man. And everybody's telling me the scenes in the Isle of Man, I don't know, but have you seen it? Douglas Airport, Isle of Man Airlines, dear me. Well, it was filmed in Hastings, apparently. And it looks like it as well. Let's get to the phones again now. And Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Just for that man that's just been on talking again, talking a lot of sense. Having been a fireman, he would have known the ins and outs of the various aspects of speed control. But what I'm coming on for, and I saw it yesterday on Manx Airlines News, is again the same particular person with the DOI. Next year will mark 150 years for the horse tramps. And the infrastructure minister says she's willing to step forward and see if she can extend the horse tramps to the sea terminal. And then her department are checking if it's fit for purpose with a business case in progress. Well, this is another case of that was already planned within the promenade renovation. It never occurred because they used the money somewhere else and will not tell the public whose money it was what it was used for. Next year will mark 150 years for the heritage attraction. Now, is this another one where they're going to jump on the bandwagon and say, we're trying our best to do it and make themselves look good in the eyes of the public? And then when their turn comes up, they say, we didn't have time for it. And she says, the politicians are the temporary guardians of the island and its heritage, with a responsibility to ensure it is maintained. So she intends to bring it back and ask for funding. Well, they should be making a business case for where that money went to, in retrospect, not making a business case for something that should have been implemented when the job was done. The money was already there, and they took it for something else.
Yeah, well, it was.
There should be an explanation as to where it's gone.
It was to finish the prom, wasn't it, Howard?
Allegedly, but that must have been priced. The trams to go right through because they had the rails, and they left that grass verge, and the plan stated that the horse trams would go right through to the sea terminal. And it's in Hansard, I believe.
Well, the thing is, Howard, as you know, opinions divided regarding the trams. There are some people who couldn't be bothered, couldn't care less about the trams, and they don't care. And lots of people on the other end of the spectrum absolutely love the trams and want them. So,
I like the trams.
Yeah, no, but we've got to decide, haven't we? I mean, there will be people who saw what happened when they, as you say, they de-scoped the programme and stopped the trams at the Castle Mona Avenue, who will never forget the fact that the government went back on its word. They said there were the trams were going to go through, and then there's the other people who couldn't care less. And I don't know what the politicians, which side are they banking on? Do they think the people who really don't care about the trams will say, well, it doesn't matter, and hope the rest of the people who do like the trams will just give up through boredom? What do you think?
I think that's what they're looking to, and this Michelle Hayward now has jumped on the bandwagon because they've only got about 18 months or so before the next election, and this is another way of making herself look good in the public's eyes. And for making a business case for something that's already been decided before they actually started the job, put the $35 million there to do the job, and then take £1 million out of it to do something else, and not give a genuine explanation. Now, if there had been a private company on the island, there would have been an inquiry into why that was done within the business scope, and there would have been answers coming up, but there's nothing coming out of the government. The horse trams, and in her own words, we are guardians of the heritage.
Yeah.
Well, the heritage only half exists now. In other words, are they going to knock half of Craignish down because it costs too much to maintain? It beggars belief as to what this woman is thinking about. It makes my blood boil when I think of these people coming on and talking a load of rubbish like that. A business case for something that has already been provided cash for, and that cash was sent to another department within the DOI to be utilised for something else, and an explanation should be forthcoming or resign. And that goes for all of the we had three MHKs, head of the ministers for the DOI, while that was in progress.
Yeah.
Ray Harmer, Tim Baker, somebody else was there, I think it was Chris Thomas, partly. I don't think he was there long. And now Michelle Hayward is continuing the lies. Is this a cover-up for somebody that's made a complete cock-up within the DOI, including leaving the tram lines exactly where they are, spaced too far apart, and that is what is holding the traffic up? It's not the trams. The trams are perfectly all right where they were when they were before the road was rebuilt. Traffic, and as I said before, I and a lot of other people drove coaches and people drive buses, and we were able to get past them quite easily. And it's that end of the promenade, from the bottom of Summerhill through to the bottom of Broadway, that the hold-ups are now, because the spacing between the two sets of lines has been exaggerated. And that was to accommodate electric poles, for, if you could call it, for battery-driven electric trams coming along the promenade.
Well, let's wait and see, Howard, because you never know. They may end up with another consultation to see whether or not the proposed tram lines and the space for the trams at the back of the Herringbone car park spaces, whether that's going to be sufficient and safe, because you never know.
This should have all been in the planning, and somebody in planning in the DOI or somebody in the hierarchy of the DOI should be getting a P45 somewhere, because this has cost the people of the island. They say the government, it's not, it's the people of the island. The government don't have any money of their own. It's my money and your money, and they've wasted it. And this is now making themselves look good with a business case for something that's already been processed. So either get out or get it sorted. That's my opinion. I don't know what other people do.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people have come onto the island here, and this is the only place in the world where we used to have, that word used to have, 3 mile, 2.5 to 3 mile of a horse tram system. Nowhere else can you find something like that, possibly in Disney, but that's Disney World.
Yeah.
But a proper horse tram service, and here she is saying next year will be our 150th anniversary of it. It'll be 75 years because there's only half of it left.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks then.
29 minutes past 12 midday. We were talking about the state of roads and priorities for doing roads. Lots of resurfacing going on at the moment. And a note in from a caller in the UK on 744 just said, your correspondent John should come to the UK and see what they've done for the last 6 years to repair the roads in the UK. That bad, is it? David's on now. Hello, David.
Received this morning from one of our listeners out there a copy of the report, you know, the survey that was done on behalf of the infrastructure.
And thank you for sending me a copy.
Yeah, and that's great. It's great, isn't it? Now, this is the second copy. Remember, we had one earlier, probably 6 or 7 months ago, from the same person, more blessing. I'll have to name her because her name's at the bottom of it. She's the person that's looked at it. And I'm just amazed, really. A couple of things, if I could say quickly to people, is I'm speaking on behalf as a civilian here, not as anything else. I have to do that now, but I'll talk to you another day about that. I'd love to know, and I'm going to ask the questions tonight, so if the members are listening, they will be listening, because I'm going to the one at Ballacameen. Don't forget, 5:30, be there. If you don't exercise your voice, you're never going to know what's going to happen. And you'll get an opportunity to talk to the ministers, I don't know how long for, and ask questions. So the question I'm going to be asking is from the DOI, really is, and she'll be prepared for it because I'm going to tell her, is how much did this survey cost? And why did we use a UK agency and provide return envelopes for your survey into the UK and not use the Manx post office and a Manx business reply thing, so we could at least make some money out of it? You know, I can't believe these people.
Well, I looked at the questionnaire that you say, and of course it's got all the latest UK jargon in it and the UK options and what have you. And you just wonder, and this is, as you say, this is Moore Blessing Pederew, who is the Interim Director of Highway Services, and it's all publicly available information. She's on LinkedIn, who apparently brings 35 years of experience in international development and infrastructure sectors across 20 years, which she spent working in the sub-Saharan region as well. And she is now Interim Director of Highway Services on the Isle of Man. And I don't know whether anybody in the DOI has kind of has brought Moore Blessing Pederew with the Manx dynamic, in that we don't really care about what happens elsewhere. We're really bothered about what happens on the Isle of Man. So questionnaires with lots of UK references really don't cut any ice on the Isle of Man.
Yeah. So how? Why do you want to know whether I'm a man, a woman, non-binary, my gender is not listed, or prefer not to say? And then the other one is, the major one is, I'm not being racist or whatever, am I white, black or British, African, Bangladeshi, Caribbean, Indian, African, Pakistani, all those. I mean, there's a full back page of this stuff. And Beastie was quite right to draw it to our attention.
Was there an option for Manx?
Well, I was just going to say to you that. Yeah, I love it when you get these things you fill in, and I always put in Isle of Man, Manx. Do you know what I mean? Anything you do, because I'm proud of where I live. I wasn't born anywhere else. I live here. It's like the Bee Gees say, don't they? And it's going to be on next Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Gibbs says to himself, I was born in the Isle of Man, and that's where I came from, and I'm proud of it. And that's what we haven't got anymore with this government that we've got. And we'll see the council minister tonight and see what they say.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Yes, it is tonight, Ballycommeen High School in Douglas. It's get there. Well, the doors open at 5:15. Events start at 5:30 and finish at 8 o'clock. It's fully accessible. There's on-site car parking as well. So Ballycommeen tonight. Tomorrow it's Castle Rushen in Castletown, and Thursday QE2 in Peel. And Mark's with us now. Hi, Mark.
I was just getting a personal loan out for a small thing item on the Isle of Man. And it's the first time I've sort of taken a loan out for a while, and you know, I had to put a deposit down for something, and I had to prove my source of wealth, and it wasn't a very large amount of money. And the solicitors were involved, and I was absolutely gobsmacked about the regulation and the GDPR and know your client and KYC and all that, KYC that you have to jump through. I had to delve back for bank statements going back for 2.5 years to try and find out where the originated sort of source of funds came out. And this is little me on the Isle of Man trying to get a small amount of money. And I started to get a bit annoyed. And I thought, no, hang on, the compliance manager's doing a job. She's just following the rules and regulations on the Isle of Man. And I asked her, I said, you know, is this the same in the UK and other jurisdictions? And she said, no, the Isle of Man is far more overly regulated than other jurisdictions. And I did a bit of research as well, and apparently it's easier to open a bank account in the UK than it is in the Isle of Man. And I'm drawing on a few conversations I've had with some individuals, and I had another friend who had a business on Jersey. He just opened a business in Jersey. And I said, how was it opening a business in Jersey? And he said it was a lot easier than it was on the Isle of Man. So it seems to me that we're over-regulating ourselves, and we're in danger of killing the golden goose about what we actually are. You know, the Isle of Man should be a flexible, offshore, tax-efficient jurisdiction. If it's not, we die. And I remember when I was doing my thesis ages ago, and I was talking to the director of the Manx Museum many, many years ago, and she waxed lyrical about how the Isle of Man, you know, back in the Viking days was a hub to capitalise and pillage the UK and Ireland, and Ireland was a hub for that. Then it became a smuggler's paradise, and then it became a tax haven. Now, if we have regulations that are above and beyond our competitors, then what are we going to become in the future? I was overwhelmed by the amount of KYC I had to do for myself. And I would love somebody who's more knowledgeable in this area to come in and talk on the radio about it, because I think it's killing the Isle of Man. I know, because I'm in the shipping, I know that a number of shipping companies, due to this inability to open bank accounts over here, have decided not to set up. So it seems to me the blob is over-regulating. They're ticking the box saying, what a great job we're doing, but we're killing the business over here, which seems to be the trend. Anyway, it was my thought. I was gobsmacked. Little me trying to get a loan. And I thought, Christ, if that's me...
Did you get the money?
Like for businesses? I did, finally. I managed to find the bank statement 2.5 years ago. But my God, that was a... It was ridiculous, Andrew. Yeah. And I just thought, there's something wrong. There's something wrong at the moment. You know, what is our USP? We're not flexible anymore. We're over-regulated. You know, I know there's the big thing about being on the white list, and again, I'm not an expert in this, but if you look at other jurisdictions like Malta, they were grey listed until 23, now they're white listed. I think Monaco's grey listed. You know, we're not the UK, and I just think maybe we wish we were. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of highlight that, my frustrations.
That's an interesting point. Good to hear from you, Mark. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. It's interesting, and this is a lot of this is to do with MoneyVal, the next independent assessment of the Isle of Man's effectiveness in countering financial crime. Takes place next year. It's going to be October 2026. MoneyVal is a committee of experts on the evaluation of anti-money laundering measures and the financing of terrorism. So its on-site evaluation of the Isle of Man is October next year. Preparations are well advanced across multiple government agencies. Government involvement will be stepped up from as of now. And the regulations are being put in place because the finance industry and the government wants us to remain lily white so that we can move forward in the future. So whether or not this is cramming for an exam and things will slacken up afterwards, nobody knows. But as Mark says, it is affecting business.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, quality through and through, great work guaranteed to you.
B&B's fantastic summer sale is on now. Make it a sensational summer with up to 25% off throughout the store. Beautiful sofas and suites, stunning kitchens, gorgeous beds and bedroom ranges from leading brands. With up to 24 months interest-free credit across the store and nothing to pay for up to 3 months. B&B Furniture's fantastic summer sale. On now at Snugborough Industrial Estate.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861 271.
North Key Live presents the Jazz and Blues Festival on Saturday the 5th of July on all day from 12:30 on the Quayside in Douglas, featuring local musicians, market stalls, RNLI raffle and more, all with free entry. North Key Live, supported by the Domestic Events Fund.
Tonight here on Max Radio at 5:30, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I went along on Friday to the annual parish event, the La Column Killia.
I popped along to the Manx Aviation and Military Museum to chat with some of the people displaying the Manx Airlines advanced turboprop, which was open to the public at the weekend. And also, I speak to contractor Philip Hampton about how the hay and silage crops have been so far this year.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
I agree with that gentleman, says Julie on 800. It took 3 months to open a business account with a bank I've had an account with for 50 years. So they should KYC, or they should know their customer, KTC. Have you had this experience yourself, particularly if you're in business? How long does it take to open a business bank account? The bus, says Paul in Castletown. Paul said the bus from Douglas to Castletown takes about 35 minutes, works out at 17 miles per hour. I know it's got to stop, but it also travels very quickly through Santon. Is 20 miles per hour in certain areas going to make any difference? I don't think so, as long as it is applied sensibly. The roadshow's being poorly attended, said 152. It just reflects how the public feel about the government. They don't listen to us. Well, they can't listen if you don't go, can they? Juan, did you go last night?
I did, Andy, yeah. Just on the over-regulation, before I go into that, yeah, I totally agree with Mark on the over-regulation. And that's showing signs. I mean, we've got a lot of Asian companies now who are not made feel welcome here, and they're not going to invest here. Just various different things about the bank account as well. I mean, I spoke on here about a year ago now about the Alaman Bank closing my bank account down and not giving me any justification for it, which I think is quite atrocious when you've been with a bank for 40-odd years. So, I think it's out of control. But on the same token, we're seeing the collapse of the fiat monetary system at the moment. So it could be all fun in the next few years.
Well, let's face it, Juan, Isle of Man Bank is really just, it's just a skin, isn't it? It's just a white cover. It's the Royal Bank of Scotland, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah, it's the RSB Group. Yeah, yeah. But it's just interesting when you go into the bank, they make a big thing of we are your family bank and here to help you. Maybe not. the government roadshow. So first night last night. Interesting to see the demographics of the age of the people that were there. There was no younger people there, which is very interesting. I don't know whether that's down to apathy or whether they feel that the situation in the Alaman doesn't bother them at their time of life. The people that were there were, middle-aged to older clientele, knowledgeable people and a lot of good questions. Not greatly attended considering the apathy on the island at the moment with the way that government is run. And what David said before, you know, go down, speak your mind and say your piece, because if you don't, the PR team of government will say this is a success and everyone's happy because no one turned up. So don't let that happen. And anybody who is going to the next three events, the first 2 hours will be sitting down with ministers. They've all got their own separate tables. You can go down, you can talk to the ministers and their executives that are with them about anything that you want. The open floor event will be from about 7 onwards, and it's for an hour. Short questioning, again, you get a pointed question moving on. So that's the format, is you can sit down. I thought it was put over very well. They presented themselves very well. But in answer to the direct questions of where we are at this moment, not so clear. A lot of it was about the 10-year plan, but we've got to get to that first. I directed a question to Tim Johnson on the Department of Enterprise. At the moment, the hoteliers are getting questions coming in from the likes of Booking.com and Expedia of, hey, why are our bookings down? What's going on in the Isle of Man? We're not getting the bookings through. And the hoteliers are taking a hit on their pricing to get people over here to put, to get bed nights. So my question again was on the steam packet and the pricing of the steam packet for people to come here and also for locals to get away, because, people are talking extortionate prices for taking vehicles off the island and motorbikes and stuff like that. So that was my main question. And another main question that was put up was from Keith Carush, who's a staunch northerner there, on the secrecy of the Ørsted regulation, which was brought about from Keith's information by government requested the secrecy, not Ørsted. And the question was asked there on public money of why there's so much secrecy. So some good questions, but it would be nice for some more people to turn up, put their points of view over. I'm sure the southern one will be busy with the Erie staying wind turbine events and stuff, but it'd be nice to see a lot more people at the event.
Interesting, but I mean, let's face it, trying to get somewhere, first of all, anybody who's, I mean, a lot of university students will be away at university. There are A-levels and O-levels coming up, so presumably some people will be revising. And when you were 16, did you take a blind bit of notice of politics, Ewan?
I took notice, but not to that extent. Yeah. So I do get your point on that. But moving on from that, I mean, you 20-year-olds and your 30-year-olds, you know, your generation of longevity of work ahead of them on the island, and they're the people that were missing from the event. You know, it was more your 40, 50, 60-year-olds plus that was there, who had concerns. Obviously, people who are retired and concerned about the future. Some good business people there with some good strategies who were concerned. So it just seemed to me that the younger people don't kind of realise what's going on at the moment in the deeper scope of things.
Okay.
Don't know what the answer is to it, Andy, really. I don't know. But I'd like to see a lot more people in the next 3 nights there and hopefully get a bit more questioning.
Okay. Thanks for calling today.
Take care, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Sharon dropped a note in and just said, somebody mentioned a while ago on Man in Line that the more people work for government, they won't criticise the government because they, bluntly, have an interest in the matter. Anybody who works for government is not going to want to criticise the government because they pay their wages. So really, surely the answer is less government. It's a thought. Phil on 952 said, I opened another account with a local bank. 2.5 months it took. And a note in on the WhatsApp 583, Michelle is the minister and she's following Tynwald regarding the speed limit. So where does that leave Tynwald's approval for the horse tram to go to the sea terminal where the money was already approved? If they can negate the horse tram money, surely they can knock the 20 miles per hour back. Once again, people shouldn't claim to know what the public want based on the echo chamber of the same few people who call Man in Line every single day, says Steve. And the same few who attend the consultation to complain. To know what the public want, you actually have to consult the 98% of the Manx public who don't call in every day, said Steve. That's Steve. Steve never calls, by the way, and wants me to read out his messages. Thank you, Steve. Good to know you're listening. Pick the phone up. Tell us what you really think. Michelle Haywood seems to think it's a good idea to spend £36 million in Wales, revert the 20 miles per hour back to where it was before it was changed, says Mark. And we can only hope the government are trying to push our island forward with honesty and progress, says Big John in Ramsey. Here in the UK, we're told, this is Richard in Heena in Derbyshire, we're told to drive on the left side of the road. However, these days, we drive on what's left of the road.
The Ginger Hall has it all. A fantastic pub with brilliant new restaurant and new menu, plus daily chef specials and more, including takeaway breakfasts. The Ginger Hall restaurant is open Wednesday to Friday from 5, Saturday from noon, and for Sunday lunch, 12 till 4, with the pub open from 4 p.m. daily. Booking is recommended, so check us out on Facebook and send us a message to reserve your place. The Ginger Hall Pub and Restaurant, Ballymanock Road, Sulby. The Ginger Hall has it all.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With micro-suction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic, Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
Do you know, Dave, the Q-Plus counter always has just what I need. Whatever plumbing job I'm working on, whether a state-of-the-art bathroom or the latest heating system, Q-Plus always help. With extensive supplies, friendly, knowledgeable service and great prices, it really is the one-stop shop for trade and DIY customers alike. And if they don't have what you want in stock, they'll find it for you. See for yourself. Just take a look at Q Plus on Facebook.
Hi, this is Chris Pearson. Join me and Christy De Haven chatting with Sir Barry Gibb about the Bee Gees and growing up on the Isle of Man.
I think Robert wanted some kind of visual idea for Jive Talking, and so we did that. Maybe the Douglas Bay Hotel.
What would you like the Bee Gees' legacy to the Isle of Man to be?
That the two are connected completely. That's what I'd like to see, and that I'd like everyone to know that that's where it began for us.
Brought to you by Manx National Heritage.
Hi, this is Barry Gibb. Join me on Manx Radio with Christy De Haven and Chris Pearson.
Tim Wald Holiday Monday from 6, and available afterwards as a podcast at manxradio.com.
When the summer day is over.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
8 minutes to one. Here's Pat with us now. Hi, Pat.
Hello there. I was just wanting to follow up from the other two speakers on the horse champs, whom I greatly support. The festival, the 150th, is the 6th of August next year. Horse champs is a worldwide attraction. It's unique in the world. It could attract a huge number of people, but what we've got with half a horse charm, it's an absolute disgrace. It's virtually going to be impossible, I would think, to get everything into operation for the 150th. But we should at least be saying we're getting the horse charm track down to the sea terminal. I don't know who's put the suggestion in that the corridor left might not be wide enough, but if they decide now that it isn't, it's because they're changing the regulations, and it'll be the same people who have blocked the horse trams all the time, right since about 2016 when the government acquired them, and they're continually brought up obstacles to stop the horse trams going. We've now had the seawall put in. They say 900,000. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more. That is to protect the horse tram tracks. And yet half the seawall doesn't even run parallel to the tracks because the tracks haven't been put in along the Harris Promenade. We really need to get the act together and realise that the tourism side of the industry is not just what residents want. The tourists want those horse trams, and they could bring in an awful lot of income to the government if they put the track back to the sea terminal.
Why do you think, Pat, that it hasn't been done? What's the reason?
Because people in DOI, and I don't blame Michelle Haywood, she's not been in long enough to know the whole story. They have blocked the horse trams from being, they didn't even want them to go along the full length of the horse tram back to the sea terminal in the first place. They've put in, as someone said, the gap between the tracks, double tracks, is wider so that they could put in electric trams if need be. Tynwald approved the horse tram tracks. They didn't approve electric trams, but of course, they laid concrete under the horse tram tracks so it could take electric trams. That cost a lot of money, probably took up some of the budget that Tynwald thought they were approving just for the horse trams. Now, of course, trying to put forward a budget for putting in the concrete underneath the rest of the track just in case they get electric trams. It's not just for the horse trams, and Treasury need to realise that what's been asked for is more than what Tynwald originally approved. It just keeps on going. They put in electric boxes for lighting for the promenade. They put them almost in the way of where the horse tram track should go. It's just one thing after another.
Why do you think, Pat, why do you think some people don't get the history and the legacy, if you like, of the horse tram? Some people, it completely bypasses them. They don't see the point in them.
No, they don't, because they don't see the wider picture. I don't know whether it's the officers or the government. They don't realise the whole aspect of heritage, how you can, if you promote it properly, really generate good income from it. This government, like many others before, it just seems to stop with the TT, motorbike racing and bicycles. Anything beyond that, it just they will not tolerate it. And other people just say, it's whatever the users of cars want, or lorries, whatever, horse jams get in the way, so we can't possibly have things that stop cars and parking.
Okay.
It's just, it's the same old story, but they really don't see the wider picture, and I don't know why they're not, but it's the same people who are involved all the time in the background.
All right. Appreciate your call, Pat. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Okay, good. By the way, uni students, says this car, uni students, Andy, get it right. University students are back now. And A-levels and GCSEs are finished. We haven't had O-levels since 1987. Now, I think that gets me an F, doesn't it? It annoys me when people criticise our people for lack of engagement in politics. What interest do our politicians show in young people, says Chris, age 51 and a half. I don't know whether you've listened to The Man in Line when we take it round the schools and how much the year 12s and 13s know about Manx politics. Tell people, according to Facebook, you have to have a ticket to attend the road shows, says 605. So, tonight, Ballycomeen High School. Doors open 5:15, events start at 5:30, finish at 8 tonight, and Man in Line's going to be back tomorrow. Open line at high noon.
WINT.